In the winter of 1965, I decided to go for a few months to a small town in northern Ontario. It didn't have a railway station, just one of those brown railway sidings on the outskirts with a small wooden building to send telegrams, buy tickets, and to get on and get off. A taxi was there meeting the train. I asked the driver to take me to a hotel. There was only one he would recommend, he told me, the Adanac. I must have looked puzzled, for he said, "It's Canada, spelled backwards." He drove slowly through snow-covered streets. The snowbanks by the sidewalks were so high that you couldn't see anyone walking, just the trees. He drove alongside a frozen river with a green bridge across it. Then we came to the town, a wide main street with other streets going off it. The Adanac was a three-story wooden hotel which had seen better times. 50 years ago, it was the height of fashion to stay at the hotel. It was then called the George. The resident manager told me this in his office after I paid a month's rent in advance. His name was Savage, a short, overweight man in his 60s. He sat, neatly dressed, behind a desk, his gray hair, crew-cut, and looked out of the large window at the snow-covered street. The sun was shining. "Well," he said, "it's an elegant D." His wife was a thin, tall woman with delicate features. She also hardly spoke, but would come into the office and sit, very upright, in a rocking chair near Mr. Savage and look out of the window. I rented the flat above. I had a room to sleep in, a room to write and read, and a kitchen with an electric stove and fridge. I unpacked right away, then went to the supermarket and came back with various tins, fruit, and cheap cigars. I made myself some coffee, lit a cigar, and relaxed. I saw a battered wooden radio on the side table in the sitting room. Listening to it, I could only get the local station. The town sounded a noisy, busy place. But when I walked out, the first thing I noticed was the silence. The frozen, shabby side streets. Hardly anything moving. There was a feeling of apathy. The place seemed stunned by the snow piled everywhere. I quickly established a routine. After breakfast, I went out and walked, came back, made some coffee, and wrote down whatever things I happened to notice. This morning, it was the way trees creak in the cold. I had walked by a large elm when I heard it. I thought it was the crunching sound my shoes made on the snow, so I stopped. There was no wind, the branches were not moving, yet the tree was creaking. Next morning, I met the occupants of the three rooms behind me. I was going to the toilet. I opened the door and saw a woman sitting on the toilet smoking a cigarette. She wasn't young. She said, "Oh." I said, "Sorry," and closed the door quickly. "I'm sorry," I said again, this time louder as I walked away. A couple of days later, she knocked on my door and said she was Mrs. LaBelle and she was Jewish. Was I Jewish? I said I was. She invited me back to meet her husband. The people who rented these rooms usually didn't stay very long, so there was no pride in trying to do anything to change them. But Mrs. LaBelle had her room spotless. She'd put up bright yellow curtains to hide the shabby window blinds. She even had plastic flowers in a bowl on the table. Her husband, Hubert, was younger than she was. He looked very dapper, tall, dark hair brushed back, neatly dressed in a dark suit and tie and a clean white shirt. He had a camera tripod in his hand and said he was going out to work. His wife said that the mayor was trying to get them run out of town. He told the police that we need a license. It's because he owns the only photograph store here. He's afraid of the competition. We're not doing anything illegal. I knock on people's doors and ask them if they want their pictures taken at home. My husband's very good, she said, especially with children. After that, Mrs. LaBelle came to the door every day. She knew all the other occupants and would tell me little things about them. "Be careful of Savage the landlord," she said. "He looks quiet, but I saw him using a blackjack on a drunk who tried to get into the hotel at night. He threw him out into the snow, dragged him by the feet, and Mrs. Savage helped." She also complained of the noise at night. "There's three young waitresses just above me. They have boys in at all hours. I don't blame them. But I can't sleep. It's nerves," she said. That night, I heard Mr. LaBelle shouting at her.
"God damn you! Leave me alone! Just leave me alone.
It went on past midnight. Next day at noon, she knocked on the door. She was smiling.
I found a place where you can get Jewish food, she said. Maurice Bischofswerder. He's a furrier on the main street.
I went to the furrier.
Do you sell food? I said. Jewish food?
He was below middle height, stocky, with a protruding belly. He was quite a handsome man, full lips and dark eyes, and from those eyes I had a feeling that he had a sense of fun.
All right. Come, he said.
He led me through a doorway into the back, and from there into his kitchen. He showed me two whole salamis and some hot dogs.
I can let you have a couple of pounds of salami and some hot dogs, he said. I have it flown in once a month from Montreal.
He smiled.
Where are you staying?
At the Adenac. His wife came in. She was the same size as Mr. Bischofswerder, but thinner, with gray hair, deep-set, very dark eyes.
He's from England, he told her.
I come from Canada, I said quickly, but I live in England. The place I live in England doesn't have snow in the winter, so I've come back for a while.
You came all the way from England for the snow?
I like winters with snow, I said.
What have you got in England?
Where I live, rain.
Sit down, Mrs. Bischofswerder said. I was just going to make some tea.
She brought in a chocolate cake, some pastry that had poppy seeds on top, and some light egg cookies.
I haven't had food like this since I was a boy, I said.
Why are you so thin? Eat, eat, she said,
and pushed more cookies in my direction.
I wonder if you would come to shul next Friday, Mr. Bischofswerder said.
Okay, I'll come, I said.
Fine, he said. If you come here around 4 o'clock, we'll go together. It gets dark very quickly.
That night, the LaBelles quarreled until after 2, and next day at noon, Mrs. LaBelle knocked on the door.
He didn't turn up for that job, she said.
Is this the first time?
No, it's only got bad now. He's an alcoholic.
She began to weep, so I asked her inside. Would you like some coffee, I asked.
Thanks. Oh, I'm sure I'm going to be killed. He calls me a witch. Once I found a piece of paper with a phone number and a name. Hattie. I called her up and said to leave my husband alone. They're all over him. He's a good-looking guy, and when he's working, these women are alone with him, you know.
That afternoon, while I was writing, the phone went. It was Mrs. LaBelle again.
I'm in someone's house waiting for him to come and take the picture. Can you see if he's in? He hasn't turned up again.
I knocked on their door. Mr. LaBelle was sitting on the settee with a middle-aged man in a tartan shirt drinking beer. I said his wife was on the phone.
Oh, say you haven't seen me.
Well, why don't you just say hello, I said. He came to the phone and I could hear him saying,
I'm not drunk, I'm coming over.
Then he hung up and closed the door.
I'll tell you, he said, man to man. I'll be 41 next month, and she's 58. The trouble is, she can't have children, and she won't give me some rain. I've had her for 15 years.
Don't worry, he said. I won't leave her.
You may hear us at night. I shout, I'm French-Canadian, but I'll look after her.
He went back and got his camera and tripod. Then he went down the stairs. 10 minutes later, his wife rang up again.
Is he gone?
Yes, I said. It was quiet until 11 that night. I could hear them talking. Then he began to raise his voice.
Shut up! God damn it, leave me alone! You should have married a businessman, then you would have been happy.
On Friday afternoon, I put on a clean white shirt and tie and a suit and went to call on Mr. Bischofswerder. He was dressed in a dark winter coat and a fur hat. We walked around 4 blocks. Then he led me into what I thought was a private house, but it turned out to be the synagogue. It was very small, around 24 feet square and 20 feet high. But though it was small, it was exactly like the synagogues that I remembered.
Shall we start? He said.
Aren't we going to wait for the others?
There are no others,
he said. When it was over, he said, "Good Shabbos." "Good Shabbos," I said. "Do you realize," he said, "this is the first time I've had someone in the shul with me on Friday night for over 3 years. For the next 7 weeks, I went with Mr. Bishop's Werder to the synagogue. Then I went back with him to his warm house and to the enormous Sabbath meal that Mrs. Bishop's Werder had cooked. Gefilte fish with chrein, chicken soup with mandolin, chicken with tzimmus, compote, tea with cookies. And we talked. He told me how the trappers brought him skins that he sent on to Montreal. He was getting a bit old for it now. Thank God I can still make a living. Have some more cookies, his wife would say, pushing a plateful towards me. You've hardly touched them. You won't get fat. They're light. They're called nothings. Next day, Mrs. LaBelle knocked on my door once again. She looked excited. I'm selling tickets, she said. The town's running a sweepstake. When will the frozen river start to move? I've already sold 3 books. Will you have one? You can win $500. How much are they? 50 cents. I'll have one, I said. She gave me my ticket. Good luck, she said, and kissed me lightly on the cheek. She looked, I thought, the happiest I had seen her. My ticket said, March 26th, 08, 1603. That night, the streets were slushy and slippery. Next morning, when the sun came out, I walked down to the river. Things were beginning to break up. It felt as if something was coming to an end here. Next day, just before noon, Mrs. LaBelle came to my door for the last time. She looked worried. The landlord told us we have to leave. I went to see him with our week's rent in advance, but he said he didn't want it. He said we were making too much noise at night. The waitresses make noise, but he doesn't mind them. I don't know where we'll go. We've been in Timmins, in North Bay. It's okay, Mr. LaBelle said, coming to the door. We'll be all right, he said to her gently. Then he called out to me, If we don't see you, fella, good luck. Same to you, I said. But where will we go, Hubert? Mrs. LaBelle said, looking up to his face. There's a lot of places, he answered. Now, we got some packing to do. After the LaBelles had gone, it was very quiet. I'd filled up 3 notebooks, and it was time that I left. I went down to the office and told this to Mr. Savage. He suggested that I stay until the ice started to move, but I left before it did. I took a light plane from a snow-covered field with a short runway. From the air, for a while, I could see the small town, but soon it was lost in a wilderness of snow, trees, and frozen lakes.